Welcome to Immortality Weekly.
I'm Scott Alden.
And I'm Joel Khalifa.
And this is the podcast where we discuss the ups and downs, the ins and outs, the fantasies and the realities, the thoughts and the feelings, the losses and gains, and the devastating defeats and the soaring triumphs that make up
living forever.
Living forever.
Living forever.
That's right, Joel.
That's what we discuss every single
here.
Episode.
Like clockwork, you can set your watch to it. It's what we do. It's
That's
one of the few things you can rely on in this crazy world.
It's one of the few things that we actually do on a regular basis.
that's true, and we've been doing it on a pretty regular basis.
Right, this is episode 11.
That's right.
Every week we have, without skipping a single episode,
yeah,
we've released an episode every week.
Awesome.
You can count on us.
Yeah.
Is what we're saying.
Except that everything's kind of about to change.
It's totally. So with the experience of 10 episodes, we have gotten extremely good at what we do.
And we've learned a few things.
We have that we didn't know before.
Yeah.
That's just going to make us even better for you.
Yeah. So we wanted to just kind of give you a little bit of a heads up of kind of what's to come, what you can expect moving forward.
Right. It's all good. It's all good stuff.
I think it's going to be all good stuff.
So
first
we're replacing Scott.
Totally. We're going to replace me with just no one.
It's just going to be literally Sean Connery.
Joel's going to do
his ghost. Is he dead?
Don't tempt me, Joel.
Is Sean Connery dead?
No. God, Joel. No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
God.
Because he's immortal.
How dare you?
Okay. Anyway, some stuff's going to change. Some stuff is going to change.
I'll tell you what's not going to change is Joel trying to shake me off my game as soon as we start turning over a new leaf.
Because y'all love that. We checked in the surveys.
I'll tell you what we're going to do.
Yeah.
We're going to have, moving forward.
Okay.
There's going to be a little bit more of a reliable episodic structure that you can count on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as every episode, we're going to kind of follow a little bit more of us, you know, rather than kind of moving around, dilly-dallying. We think it's going to be nice. You might have noticed the sound quality has gotten a little better. You can
right.
hear.
Right. We got microphones. We got professional microphones.
We have two of them. We're going to hang on to those.
Yeah.
We're not going to go back to one mic, so that's going to be good.
Let me take a beat. It's actually semi-professional microphones. So, like, maybe in episode 21, we'll get even better microphones.
They're only going to get better from here is the point and not
right. We're they're not going to get worse.
We are we're changing the way that we name the episodes
right.
too.
So in the past, I mean, if you're just tuning in now, we probably have already changed all the episode names.
Oh right.
But if you have been here for a while and you saw like a super whimsical fun name in the past and now it's just the name
like,
of the thing.
LOL. Yeah.
You're like, "Oh, this might suck, but just understand us here. We just want it to be more approachable for new BFFs."
Yeah, that's right. And we also want existing BFFs to be able to go back to the episode about, you know, Chucky from Child's Play or Highlander without having to be like, "You mean I'm stuck in this body forever?" And you know, that kind of stuff. So
totally,
that didn't make any sense.
If you didn't know what we're talking about,
we're also going to try to make more sense to people who are just tuning in for the first time.
Just from this point onwards,
we're not going to stop referencing old episodes basically ever, but we are going to try to at least catch you up so that you know where we're at.
What else is changing, Scott?
There's going to be more yes anding, less no butting in general. Coming from both of us, we're just going to, you know, so it's going to be less holding each other back and more kind of just talking each other up, encouraging each other, driving each other forward.
I love that.
Making each other the best podcast hosts that we can be.
Okay.
And yeah,
cool.
You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this is kind of like a genie wish or something where you're like, "Oh, this sounds good to me." But then down the line, I'm like, "I didn't expect all the unforeseen consequences of this."
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Right. So like, I'm going to yes and this.
Yeah. What you actually did was like an okay, maybe, was what you did, and not a yes, so and, but like, it wasn't a no but, so that's
no,
good.
No buts, yeah. But okay, maybes are still on the table for,
okay,
like,
maybes
extreme,
are apparently still on the table.
Extreme situations.
Okay, I can work with that.
Okay.
You know, and I think lastly, we are, and I think starting with this episode, we are going to be really consistently challenging the anti-immortality media's insidious conspiracy to convince you that living forever is somehow bad, bad, bad. It's no good at all. It can't be good for anyone, ever. It's always going to go wrong because people won't buy as many SUVs and lottery tickets and fucking Netflix subscriptions if they're not afraid of death.
Yeah, sure. We'll talk about that. But speaking of capitalism...
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, please like, review us,
yeah,
rate us.
Yeah.
Share us with your friends so that our numbers can go up and so that we can make some money.
Yeah, we're not going to make any money, but we'll feel better. And the point is, but also that other potential BFFs out there will get to experience the show.
Right. Really, this is one big happy family of people who are really interested in immortality, but not in any way that's productive.
Joel gets it.
Cool. So what are we talking about today, Scott?
Dude, well, we're talking about a movie about immortality.
A movie about a story.
It's a movie about a story within a story, and then there's a story layer on top of that. And
of course we're talking about
The Neverending Story.
The Neverending Story.
What else? You know, last week we kind of set out to talk about something that was had a positive spin on immortality, and this like sort of did. Like I thought that I remembered from my childhood that it did, and then it felt kind of more like it was mixed, actually.
Right, yeah. There are maybe, I think, two immortal characters in this.
Maybe two.
And then, yeah, I don't know about the rest, but, like, two of them are probably immortal.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, we did our research here. And then one of them seems to like it, one of them doesn't seem to like it, but we'll get into that. We'll get into that. Anyway,
so it's pretty 50-50 is the point on immortality, like, and it was like the literal best we could do, you know?
It's 50% better than anything else we've shown you.
Yeah. Anyway, this is a beloved film, and, you know, I know that I watched it many, many times as a child, kind of over and over again. It was beloved to me, and seeing it as an adult... If you're a lover of this film, we don't want to troll it like too hard, but we're gonna.
we're gonna. That's the like content warning for everyone.
Yeah, right. So
if you are not comfortable with trolling your childhood childhood memories,
you're not comfortable with losing your innocence. Eject now. So let's just kind of start maybe with, you know, as we do, with a recap of what the plot's about.
Sure. Yeah. You want to take it?
I could kick it off. So Bastion,
which is a name.
Bastion is a name and also a very on the nose symbol. We'll get into it later. Bastion is a boy who loves books.
Okay. Right?
He
loves books.
Fucking loves books. He loves books the most. And his mother died recently. And he's not over it yet, you know? But, like, his father is, like, his father thinks he should be over it.
His father's like, your mom died, but you should join the swim team, like, right now.
You're fucking up in school. You're drawing... Yeah. I heard you were drawing horses in your math book.
Unicorns, not horses.
Yeah, he's like, they're not horses, Dad. They're unicorns.
He's like, oh,
you.
Dad, you don't understand anything.
God, right. And you know, they have kind of a talk about it, and his father's like, it's time to get your head out of the clouds, put your feet on the ground, be an adult, even though you're fucking eight or whatever you are.
Right, totally.
And Bastion actually does not stand up for himself at all. And he's like, okay, Dad. And his dad's like, good talk.
Yeah, he's like, don't be late for school. And he's like, but I wasn't late yesterday.
I know.
Right.
It's like, Bastion, like, pick your battles, dude, you know?
Totally. Anyway, Bastion gets up, goes to school.
Yeah.
He is, I'm gonna just, like, go briefly through it. Okay. Yeah. He is cornered by a bunch of bullies.
Yeah.
He runs away from the bullies towards a trash can. Yeah. They throw him in the trash can, and they're like, oh, we throw you in the trash can again. And it's like, why did he run towards the trash can? Anyway, he's obviously not very happy throughout this entire thing. Obviously, he's late to school again.
Yeah.
And
right.
He misses his math test, and he's like, oh, no, the math test. And so he's like, what should I do?
Wait, what? You skipped the whole essential thing here.
What's the...
He's not at school yet at all.
Oh, right. Joel, that's why I shouldn't go fast. Okay, cool. So on the way to the math test that he is late to, Bastion...
This is the story about a boy who misses a math test.
Okay, let's start with the trash. So he gets out of the trash.
Yep.
He starts going to school. They see him again. They're like, we didn't tell you you could leave the trash. And he's like, oh, fuck.
Right.
And then he runs and hides in a bookstore.
A bookstore.
So he opens the door, closes behind him.
Yes.
Immediately, the bookstore owner is like, I fucking hate kids.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
I don't like kids. You don't know anything about books. You don't know as much about books as I do. You don't belong in a bookstore.
Right.
Get out.
He's like, oh, these are rectangular objects. Like, you play video games at home. And he's like, no, I have books. And he's like, oh, comic books? He's like the number one fucking bookstore gatekeeper.
He's a crotchety old bookstore.
Such an asshole. And man. Bastion starts listing out books. It's like, I read Lord of the Rings.
Bam.
I've read like Treasure Island.
Wizard of Oz. Ever heard of it?
Yeah, exactly. And this guy's like, oh, fuck, this kid knows books.
Shuts him down.
Yeah, totally.
Immediately. But then he fires back, right?
Right. He's like, oh, yeah, well, I got a better book than you've ever seen.
Have you ever been... Those aren't even like real books. Have you ever been like, what about a book that like you actually happens to you? Like, what about like when you're reading about dying in a submarine, you're like literally in a submarine fucking dying. Has that happened to you?
Yeah. And he's like, no, it's a story. They're books. Maybe you're the one who doesn't know books. And he's like, no, I got a book that's different from any book you've seen before.
Yeah. And he shows him this book just like briefly. And it's like this like gorgeous leather bound book with like snakes intertwined on the cover. There's like this medallion, you know.
And the kid's like, you know, I love books. That's really interesting to me. But he's like, this book is not for you.
Not for you.
And then he gets up and he goes
takes
to take
a phone
call. So Bastion, who's a total asshole, just takes the fucking book. This guy's never met this guy. He's like, I want this book.
To be fair, he does leave an IOU note. He's like, I'll return your book, mister.
Right.
You know.
The guy was like mid-reading that book.
He was right in the middle.
He was reading the book. Yeah. Bastion was like, I'll return it to you once I've read the entire book.
Right. Yeah, right, exactly. But I'm going to do it right now. Don't worry.
Huge dick move. I hate kids, too,
But then what does this guy do? What does this old man do when he leaves
the store? He looks through the window. And he like smiles a bit and he gives a very knowing nod of like,
yes,
everything has worked out exactly as it should.
That's right. That's right.
Anyway, Bastion misses the math quiz.
Totally misses the math test. And then he's just like, well, fuck it. Now I'm going to blow up the whole day and go hide in the attic of my school and read this fucking book.
Goes up to the attic, starts reading the book, finds like a super dusty old like bed bug ridden mattress.
I was like, what school has an attic like this?
Like,
this
right, with like just skeletons
it's
hanging
just, like,
up.
A fucked up like haunted attic. Attic.
Yeah, like one of the teachers like, where should we put up all like the stuffed dead animals? And they're like, put them in the attic.
I know, it used to be a taxidermy school and then they started teaching children there. And they just kind of, you know, threw everything up there.
So he goes up there, he sits down, he starts reading the book.
Yeah. So this book is it's a powerful book. We get the sense immediately. You know, Bastion, who's like a good kid, you know, we think has already stolen this book. And then he like fucked off his entire school day to go just like be in an attic to read this book. Like he can't wait to get this book open and start reading it.
He's playing bookie.
Good one.
Thanks.
Good one, Joel.
That just came to me.
I loved it. So he opens this book and he starts reading this tale, you know?
Right.
And it's an engrossing tale.
It's like a fantasy land called Fantasia.
Yeah. It's called On the Nose Land. And it's a it's a realm of the imagination. It's where like everything that humans dream up or like imagine, it actually happens in Fantasia.
Right.
And the whole place is ruled by this immortal who we'll discuss today,
called the Childlike Empress.
Childlike Empress. Yeah, who was barely in the film at all. We don't see her very much.
She's there for like a good 5 minutes.
Yeah,
and that's what we're gonna talk about.
She's touched. But we have to get there. We have to get there because there's a lot to cover, so you understand what's going on with the Childlike Empress and her very particular breed of immortality. I would say.
Yeah. So quickly.
Yeah.
The story starts with like a bunch of travelers from different parts of the Fantasia map.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, our land is turning into nothing.
Yeah.
Right. These travelers are, one of them's like a giant that eats rocks. One of them's like a goblin type thing that rides a bat. And then the other one, I don't really know what it is, but that one rides a snail.
He's a little kind of like a fancy man.
A little fancy man and a goblin and a rock.
You know
giant.
That guy's real name? The actor's real name is Deep Roy.
No.
Yeah. DeepRoy.
Okay.
Anyway.
Cool.
So cool name.
So,
I thought.
So they all meet in kind of the center and they're like, oh, we're all traveling to the same place to like tell the Empress, hey, like our parts of the map are turning into nothing.
Our fucking homelands are disappearing.
They're disappearing. Can you please solve this, Childlike Empress?
Yeah.
And so they get there and they kind of hide. I don't know why, because a lot of people have come from a lot of different places, but these these ones are hiding.
And because they're cute about it.
Yeah, and then the Empress doesn't show her like bodyguard or whatever, like helper. Her,
like he's like a he's like an advisor. He's like the hand of the Empress.
Her the hand shows up.
He comes out and he's like, I know why you're all here. It's because of the nothing. We've totally heard about it. Unfortunately, the Empress can't do anything about it because she's deathly ill. She's dying. And it seems like from our research that...
Right. Our scientists seem to think that there is a connection between the Empress dying...
Yes.
...and the nothing
that is
that's taking over.
Sweeping the lands. But here's what we did about it. We did.
Right.
All hope is not lost yet. It's mostly right, lost, so like, but
there's
not,
action items. Don't
not
worry
yet.
About it.
Yeah, 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 totally.
This has been a productive meeting.
Thanks, everybody, for coming.
So we sent for this guy called Atreyu.
Yes, he's the greatest boy warrior in all of the...
Well, he said he's the greatest warrior. And then obviously their research is lacking.
Yeah.
Atreyu shows up and he's like, he's this kid. And you're just, he's like, you're just a fucking kid. And he's like, okay, I'll just leave.
He's like,
Which is a boss move.
I know. He's like, I can go back to hunting the purple buffalo. Which is like, that's a lot of kids at his age are hunting the purple buffalo. That's all they think about. You know, it's, I got it. I was like, sure. I was hunting the purple buffalo at that age too.
It's like, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about that.
Choking the pink chicken in my homeland, you know.
All right. Well, as much as I enjoyed this,
I'll do the quest.
So he goes on the quest. They tell him, like, hey, here's the thing you need to do. You need to go figure out how to fix the Empress. Zero guidance. Just you got to leave your weapons here.
In fact,
you got to leave your stuff and then go figure it out.
It's not that we don't know exactly, but we just can't tell you. That's what it feels like. It's like,
totally. It didn't feel like that to me at the time. It was like, go figure it out.
All right. Well, anyway, he's like, we can't tell you any more than that.
Yeah. He dives into like this land of ambiguities. Like, I'm not a doctor. Like, I'm going to figure it out. He rides his horse around for like a week and he's like, nothing. There's nothing here.
Yeah.
Here's what I should do.
Yeah.
I should go to the swamps of sadness.
Totally.
And visit Morla the Wise.
Yeah, the ancient and wise.
The ancient wise Morla, who we're going to find out is also seemingly an immortal.
Might be immortal, definitely very old.
Extremely, like millennia old. Yeah. Like she's been alive for at least 3,000 years.
And that's it. Nothing happens between then and him getting to Morla. So he just gets right there, no problem.
Scott wants me to not talk about this part. Because for people who hadn't just seen it in their 30s, this was an extremely traumatizing experience. But on the way to see Morla,
you're doing it. You're just gonna. Do
I'm
it.
Gonna. I'm not. You know. I'm not gonna. His horse gets depressed and dies. I feel like it's
awful.
I feel like it's worth
it's
mentioning.
Awful. Oh God.
Anyway, he gets to Morla.
Yeah.
Just forget about that. He gets to Morla.
Mm-hmm.
Sends a horse. And,
right.
Yeah.
So he now has no weapons, no horse.
No weapons, no horse. He's covered in
he's
sad
filthy.
Mud.
He's hanging onto a fucking tree.
Right. He gets to Morla. He climbs a mountain. The mountain gets up. It's a turtle. Never seen that before in a movie.
This is the first time. It was 1984. It was the first time they had a turtle mountain in a movie.
Cool. Anyway, so this turtle mountain starts speaking to him, and she's like, what do you want? What do you want? Immediately, you're like, this turtle is savage.
We've seen
this turtle knows what's up.
Yeah, I mean, well, totally. I think that I was like, Joel's really gonna like Morla when I saw
and
Morla.
I did. I love Morla
because Morla is immortal, maybe at least super old, very cynical.
Yeah,
you know, she's basically just like, we know about the Empress, but we don't care.
Right.
We don't even care that we don't care.
Right. So the moment that Scott saw Morla and remembered what was going to happen, I think he realized that once again, we have picked a movie with a very, very negative portrayal of immortality.
Yeah.
And that must have been heartbreaking for you.
It was. But at the very least, I was like, okay, what they're setting up here is that this is what apathetic immortality looks like. I've seen this before. I've been primed for this. I get this trope. I know that there is at least an alternative in this film. And so I was okay.
But very, very quickly, let's cover Morla's immortality.
Joel would talk about Morla for the entire fucking episode.
Morla
if we let
is
him.
The star of this
yes,
movie.
Yes, Joel, let's talk more about Morla and make it brief.
Okay, so every sentence she starts with, not that it matters, but yes. So like,
line.
So like, it's great. It's amazing. Every single sentence, not that it matters, but and it's great because to her, like across millennia, she's like, I've fucking seen everything. There's nothing. Like she says, like to die, at least that would be something.
But it wouldn't in this case. It would be nothing.
It would be nothing.
It would be literal nothing.
I think to Morla, literally nothing is more exciting than what she has been going through over this millennia. She's great.
Morla.
She's great. So she says, like, go away. Nothing matters. And she also sneezes a lot and says she's allergic to youth, which I don't think is the case. I think she's just being savage here. I think
oh,
she's
you don't
just
think
like,
that's the mechanics of her immortality?
No, no,
that
think,
she's actually literally allergic to the youth and that's why she gets so old?
Oh, that's interesting. No, I feel like she's just being a dick.
Yeah, no, she was. She was, of course. Anyway.
Anyway,
Morla's
she's
like,
I can't help you.
I can't tell anything.
You got to go to the Southern
the
Oracle.
The Southern Oracle.
And he's like, where's that? And she's like, fucking too far for you. Ha ha. And then she like goes away.
10,000 miles away. You'll never get there.
Luckily, like a big flying dog shows up.
Falcor comes.
Falcor the luck dragon.
Falcor shows up and picks him up and takes him to very close to where the Southern Oracle is.
This was exciting to me.
Oh.
Because I had known about Falcor.
Uh-huh.
For like for my entire life.
Yeah, you can't have the internet and not know.
You
about
can't
Falcor.
Get away from Falcor, and I just this is the first time like oh now I know what that big fluffy like doll looking dog is.
Yeah.
Now I know.
And now you know. And how do you feel now?
I liked him.
Yeah, Falcor's great.
Falcor is like Falcor did not give a shit about anything. How he's like whatever.
He's
things
like,
are
gonna
cool.
Be cool.
Yeah, everything's gonna work out.
He relied on luck.
He relied on luck, and
that's
it worked out. It worked out.
Yeah, I mean, not without a lot of hardship along the way. But,
lots
but,
of hardship,
yeah.
But also a ton of
but,
luck.
Yeah, but that that fucking luck dragon is real lucky. And so he flies him kind
also,
of just...
Also, by the way, in this movie,
yeah.
In this movie, it's amazing because like they don't even try to match like lip syncing with the dolls.
Oh, they tried.
Just, no, they just kind of slowly move his mouth. And then he speaks and you're like, this works. Like, I don't care.
It does work. That's right. Your mind makes the leap, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's completely fine. And it looks great. I mean, the puppets in this movie are gorgeous, you know? And
beautiful,
yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's a mwah.
So, anyway, he takes him to the Southern Oracle.
Yeah.
While
and
he's sleeping, by the way.
Yeah, he's sleeping. He lets him sleep for a couple of days.
He's
and
really
he drops him
weight.
Off right next to the, like, laboratory of the foremost scientific expert on the Southern Oracle in all of Fantasia. Lucky... And
yeah, totally. And he's like, you got to go to these two gates. You got to go through two gates. The first gate is two statues that will kill anyone without adequate self-esteem.
Two very sexy statues,
two sexy statues that will kill anyone with low self-esteem.
Correct.
Essentially, if you don't go in and you're like, I am the fucking shit,
yeah,
you will immediately be like lasered and explode.
Totally. You can't be intimidated by how sexy they are. You gotta step up there anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
So
yeah.
Atreyu steps up and he's like, I'm the shit. And he's like, wait, maybe I'm not the shit. And they like they shoot laser at him, but he jumps forward.
He just dodges it.
He
you know,
just
it's
dodges
like,
it.
Yeah, he found a loophole.
It was pretty easy.
That.
There's
yeah.
another gate where he's like, the foremost expert was like, oh, that other gate, it's the worst. It's a mirror.
Yeah, it's just a mirror.
It's just
fine.
A mirror.
It's
he
fine.
Walks through it. It's
he gets
all
through
good.
That one very easily. But what's interesting there, I mean, sort of, is that what he sees in the mirror actually is not himself, but he sees Bastion back in the fucking
right,
attic.
The loser kid
reading the book. Don't call him a loser, Joel.
He's
not
the
he's
worst
not a loser.
Character in this
he's not
movie.
A loser. He's a, he's, you know, he's a nerd.
He doesn't seem very smart. He doesn't seem very charismatic.
He's read a lot of books.
Yeah, anyone can read a lot of books, man.
And not anyone
given
can.
Given enough time, anyone who can read a lot of books.
Okay, whatever. It,
cool.
Look,
you don't like
they,
Morla. I don't like Bastion.
They,
okay?
I don't like Bastion either. I'm just not calling him a loser. You know, like
okay, cool.
The kid's got issues.
So it's a kid with issues.
Yeah, he likes to read.
Anyway,
and he's in
he
there
sees,
reading.
He sees this kid through the mirror.
He's a kid.
He's like, I don't know who this kid is. The mirror fades out. He walks through the gate.
He
it's
walks
done.
Through the gate.
It's done.
All right. So then he gets to talk to the Oracle, and well, this is what the Oracle says.
Are you the Southern Oracle?
Yes. We are.
Then you must know what can save Fantasia.
Yes, we do.
Well, what is it? I have to know.
The Empress needs a new name.
So she needs a new name.
But did she? But not just anybody can give her the name.
Not anyone can. Let's find out.
No one from Fantasia can do it. Only a human child.
So it's not only a human child can give her the name.
Okay. And we have one.
Luckily, we've got one.
We've got one. He sucks, but
his
we've
got one.
His
name is Bastion. He's currently reading this story.
He's reading the book, and he's like slowly realizing that the book is talking about him.
Yeah, and it takes him actually a long time to realize. I think, though, we get what's going on here. We have got we've got an immortal empress, mm-hmm. and she is going to die unless a human child gives her a new name. I think it's time to talk about mechanics.
Sure, yeah.
Why does the sun come up? Or are the stars just pinholes in the curtain of night? Who knows?
So yeah, welcome to our mechanics corner.
That was Sean Connery, bringing us in.
Yeah, in which we discuss
how immortality works in this particular in this particular piece of media.
Exactly. So we have a very, very young,
yes,
seeming
ageless.
Ageless, but,
does not
but
age.
Looks like a child.
Yes.
Empress.
Right. But she's as old as time itself, possibly. I have a quote from the fan Wikia, actually.
Okay, perfect.
Describes her. It says, while her appearance resembles that of a slender and unbelievably beautiful little girl, no older than 10, she herself is as old as time itself.
So yeah, she's as old as time.
She's old, she's ageless. Can she die?
Can she die? I'm going to say yes.
Seems like
she
can.
Okay, the entire story is based on, the Empress is on her deathbed. She's deathly ill.
Yep.
And this is because the nothing.
Yeah, she's got nothingitis.
Yeah, she's got nothingitis. The nothing is taking over the world, and like things are starting to disappear.
Yep.
And it feels like there's a very deep connection between the Empress and this land of Fantasia.
Yes.
And so we find out that Fantasia is like the land that exists to house like all the hopes and dreams of mankind.
Yeah. And yeah, it's like the realm of the imagination, kind of. It's like
right.
Yeah.
And right. And so when asked like, okay, why is the nothing taking over? It's like, oh, cuz people are not believing anymore. They don't have dreams anymore.
Yeah.
And that's why
they're it's the 80s. They're playing Atari and, you know,
totally.
What are they doing? They're
ducking and covering.
Eating pizza and, you know, yeah.
Right.
Going to the mall.
Totally. So like who can have hopes and dreams in that setting?
It's hard.
So because of that, the Empress is ill. Right, because she is tied inextricably,
yeah,
to Fantasia,
yeah, and vice versa. If she goes down, Fantasia
exactly.
goes down. There's only one way to stop that from happening, as we know. She needs a new name. It's got to come from the kid. I'd like to hear her talk about it because she's got a pretty good explanation of how it works. Because she has to convince Bastion, who's been reading the story for fucking an hour already, that it in fact is him. When they described him in the mirror, in the oracle, that was him.
He's
and,
like,
you know,
it's impossible. It can't be me. And like, she
it
literally,
takes him a while.
At the end of the movie, she literally goes like, Bastion.
Literally you. Let's hear it.
He doesn't understand that he's the one who has the power to stop it. He simply can't imagine that one little boy could be that important.
Is it really me?
Like, yes, dude, it's fucking you.
Maybe he doesn't know what he has to do!
What do I have to do?
He has to give me a new name. He's already chosen it.
Yeah, he's chosen a wonderful new name, which we're going to find out soon.
See my name.
Anyway, this kid...
Nothing is coming. Okay, who great. You gonna save?
Exactly. So he's chosen a name, but he's still an idiot.
Bastion. Why don't you do what you dream, Bastion?
But I can't! I have to keep my feet on the ground!
Call my name! Bastion! Please! Save us! Alright! I'll do it! I'll save you! I will do what I dream!
So this is his mom's name.
It's hard to understand.
His dead mom's name.
When he says it.
He wants to give it to her. He's like, in the middle of the book, she's like, oh, she only needs a name. I got a name for her.
I got a great name. She had a wonderful name. Her name was Moonchild. His mother's name.
My mom's name was Moonchild.
Was Moonchild.
Moonchild Smith.
I got a... I really wonder about how his kind of, you know, regimented, controlling, militaristic father got together with a lady named Moonchild.
Right. He's like, I'm going to marry Moonchild, but I got to keep my feet on the ground.
He tried.
He really tried. Well, yeah. That's kind of like, you know, opposites attract. He's like, you know, I like.
It was the 60s, you know.
She, right. He needed her. He needed her to, like, get out of his shell a bit.
I get the feeling that he was, like, one of the, like, the soldiers at a protest, you know, and she was on the other side, and, like, they locked eyes, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And kind of had this moment where, like, they like, fell in love across the lines. And
she took out, like, a Pepsi.
Yeah. Yeah. And they were like, what's that?
They had Pepsis
in the 60s? We got to look it up.
Okay. Anyway, more research for next time.
So she gives him. She gives.
Anyway,
him,
yeah. He gives her a name, and then she's like, "Oh, everything's good.
Yep.
You gave me a name. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Also, you get infinite wishes for what you just did.
Yeah. Right.
That doesn't matter. Anyway.
Right. Anyway.
So the thing is, the interesting thing about the childlike empress.
Yeah.
Is that she can technically live forever. It seems.
Yeah.
But every once in a while,
yeah,
her name runs out. Maybe people forget her name.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's when the nothing kicks in.
Right.
And she's like, I need another dreamer.
Yeah.
To give me a new name.
Right.
And like, give me essentially the power of your dreams or your imagination.
Right.
By coming up with this name.
Yeah.
And he gives her the name. She's like, oh, everything's good.
Yeah.
For another, like, I don't know how many years. And
probably about a decade or so.
I also read in a Wikipedia or something that Morla, my favorite character here, once described the childlike empress as not her age, like you can't count it in years or in time, but really you count it in names.
Oh, how many names has she had?
She's like, I don't know, she's like 18 names old or something like that.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, that's sort of like how Connor McLeod does it, you know, in Highlander, episode one. Highlander.
Right, listen to it.
Yeah, but
no,
he's got
further context.
He's got a new name, kind of everything. But honestly, this is the way that immortals should do it, really. I mean,
right.
it's weird that her life is contingent on her doing that, but I think we've certainly seen immortals in the past whose way of life was contingent upon them having
right,
a new name every once in a while, you
so,
know. You
so
got to you got to re
When you
talk
about her living like countless lifetimes,
yeah.
actually like denoting those by different names makes
right.
a lot of sense.
Right.
And yet everyone keeps calling her childlike empress. And the question is,
yeah.
is that her current name? Maybe
it's a
she's
bad name
dying
if it
because
is.
It's such a bad name.
It, totally. Yeah, that name only lasted like 4 years. Like,
right, because everyone's just like, wait, what is the
Moonchild?
What
that's
is it again?
Got that's got
yeah.
legs.
Moon
that's
child.
gonna take her a while. I mean,
that's a better name for her.
At
than
least
it was.
Until the 90s, I would say probably. You know, and then yeah.
Right. And indeed in the 90s there is Neverending Story 2, and it's a different actress.
Which we're gonna cover in a different episode. so in summary, she can die.
Forget her name.
She's ageless. She can die if people forget her name if she doesn't get a new name in time.
He saved her last second. She was like, give me a fucking name, man.
Yep. And he comes in with the name. And
right.
then because of that, now they can rebuild Fantasia because her existence is Fantasia's existence is contingent
right.
upon her.
It is
as well
rebuilt immediately.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's it. That's her whole deal. She lives forever. She doesn't age.
Yeah.
She is extremely wise and kind of like
yeah.
always like, you know, childlike.
And that's the nuts and bolts of it, Joel, but what does it all mean?
I guess it's time.
What does it all mean?
Let's do it.
So I've heard from many of our BFFs, Joel, that they
this is a lie.
They love hearing about immortality and how it works and even whether or not we'd like it. They love hearing all that.
Okay, that part wasn't a lie.
But the thing that they're really starving for
this part
is meaning.
Is the lie.
Is meaning. More meaning. What is it all about? How does it impact our own lives and who we are to hear these things? And because Joel refuses to discuss themes with me in the context of the show, generally speaking, we have a new segment.
Right.
We've allotted
Scott a special specific time.
Yeah.
In which he can discuss all his like theming dreams.
And it's a brief time. We've agreed upon it being a brief time.
A brief time.
But Joel, here's how it works. I'm not allowed to discuss themes outside of Theme Corner. I can't bring it up.
Right.
But during Theme Corner.
I cannot stop you.
Yep.
I can only
You can't roll your eyes. You can't project negative energy at me.
I'm going to be super positive, super yes, Andy. And then after you are done with your theme,
yeah,
I will get the mic.
Then you get the mic.
Okay, perfect. Let's do it.
Right. Welcome to Theme Corner. What's in a name? And why is the Childlike Empress's immortality contingent on getting a new one? The Childlike Empress is one of those story-flesh hybrids that we often encounter here on Immortality Weekly. Peter Pan is one of these. Deadpool, I think, is very likely one of these. The Childlike Empress is a story with a flesh-and-blood form. And stories have to stay relevant to survive. Because stories live in the mind, the best way for them to keep on living is to infiltrate young imaginations. It's not enough for Bastion to casually read her story. He has to participate in it. He has to become not just a reader, but a writer. So he can help the Childlike Empress charm her way into the minds of other children. She needs Bastion to give her story a twist that will hook the kids of the new generation. In short, the Childlike Empress is a sentient virus that requires fresh young host minds to survive. She's laid a trap in the physical world in the form of this book to attract children whose mental defenses have been weakened by tragedy and bullying and alienation, and then joyride their minds all the way into the next decade. I think the Fantasian government very likely staged the bullies in the first place. I think it's very likely that they had Bastion's mother killed, and I think the old man in the bookstore is the last generation's Bastion. That's why he's so glad to get rid of the book. He's like, I'm finally free. I've done my duty. You take it on, you little fucker. Joel, you have the floor.
Okay, wow.
Thank you.
So I think I was expecting a theme, and instead you went like full-blown InfoWars on me.
Well, I don't know if you understand what themes are.
No, okay. So I... You know, yes, I'm going to say yes. She feeds on the hopes and dreams of children.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's a zero-sum game.
Yeah.
As you're putting it, I don't know if she's like taking them away.
Yeah.
Versus just you need to have hopes and dreams, which is good for you and good for me.
Oh no, she's not taking them away.
Right.
No, she's just it's a symbiotic host-virus relationship.
Okay.
Yeah, no, she needs them to have
it's
the hopes
like a,
and dreams.
It's like a virus that makes your life better.
Oh, yeah.
No, so I agree with
totally,
that, and I'm
yeah.
fine with that.
Oh, there's no harm in it. Yeah, totally. I mean, except that it makes you a crotchety old man who doesn't want to do anything but read books for the rest of your life because no one else is going to understand you if you have this virus occupying your mind, as we've seen.
Okay, well, I'm a yes on this.
That's the harm.
I just agree with this theme.
Great.
I don't think it's a theme. I think it's a theory about what she is.
It kind of went from a theme into a theory, you know. The theme is that stories need to stay relevant in order to survive. And sometimes immortals are kind of half story hybrids, and they represent that idea.
Okay, you know what? I agree with this. And
yes,
I have another theme for you.
Oh, what?
Yeah,
we got a double theme corner.
Just for the first one, you know. I'm
Well, yeah. We'll see.
When Atreyu,
yeah,
which is the child warrior,
yeah,
meets the Gamork.
Oh, we didn't really get into Gamork.
The Gamork is like just an asshole.
Yeah,
he's like he's not. Yeah, he's just a wolf. He's pro nothing.
Yeah,
right. He's like if there was a Brexit vote, he would vote Brexit.
Exactly.
For sure. Exactly. So he's like he's not really associated with the nothing. He's just like, oh, I think that's great.
Yeah.
And the kid's like, why is that great? And he's like, control, kid.
Yeah.
Because when people don't believe in anything,
right,
they're easier to control.
Yeah. Actually, not true.
What? When people don't believe in anything?
When people believe in something, they're easier to control.
Well, people, when they don't have hopes and dreams. Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gamork's an idiot.
Which is exactly how the Childlike Empress infiltrates young minds.
You know what? This is why I don't run the theme corner.
But that's okay. I think it is a theme. I just disagree with what
you
Gamork
disagree
said.
With the theme. Okay, yeah. So mine was a theme.
Yes,
yours wasn't.
Mine. Maybe mine was a theme theory hybrid.
Okay, you know what? Theme corner. First theme corner. I think was a success.
It's a go.
It's a go.
We're gonna try it again.
Okay, so I think we're at that point where everyone's favorite corner.
We checked
comes
all the
in.
Boxes. I love that you call segments corners in general, and that's actually why I chose to name theme corner because I think that's so cute that you do that.
So
everything's
earlier,
a corner.
Earlier in this episode, when we were talking about it, and I was like expecting this theme corner because you wrote it.
Yeah.
And I was like thinking to myself, wait, is corner not a thing they say in English? And then I saw you writing theme corner. I'm like, yeah, it is. It must be.
We do say it. It's not the blanket term. It's a particular kind of segment.
Okay. So now is the last kind of segment. Would we like it? It's the thing that you wait for every single episode.
You gotta know.
Some of you I've heard actually just directly come to this. Just like
should we say a timestamp on? We're about 41:20 is about where this happens.
I feel like they know that because they're already here. All right, let's talk about Would We Like It. Do you want to start out, Scott?
I could start. Jesus, this is a tough one. Okay, let me tell you everything that I definitely wouldn't like about it.
Okay.
I wouldn't like having to be like sub 10 years old for my entire existence. That I would not like.
All right.
I want to be able to, if I'm going to stay at an age, I want to be the ideal age for immortality, which is 25. This is well documented and established. Or just like now, you know, like I'd be 40 and just not getting older than 40. That's fine. But I don't want to be younger than 10 for all of time. I don't want my immortality to be contingent on an earthling child having to come up with a name for me. I don't want to have to take whatever the fuck name that earthling child gives me. If it's Moonchild,
right,
for example,
right.
You know, that sucks.
Also, the earthling child is exactly the right age for like dumb pranks.
Yeah, that wasn't his mother's name at all, right? Yeah, there's kind of like a sixth sense kind of like reviewing of this movie, I think, where you're like, wait a minute, Bastion was just like a dick the whole time, and it was just trolling everyone. You know, he knew exactly what this book was, and he was like, I'm gonna give her the dumbest name possible,
right.
And she has to live with it until people forget it, which God she hopes is soon, so that she can get a new name.
Right.
That sucks. And I just think that, you know, it's having to like lay this trap for earthling children to get sucked into so that they can like, you know, get engaged with this story and get invested and then be tricked into giving us a new name is just like, it sucks to have to do that however often she has to do it. It's super involved. Yeah.
I feel like it's less involved than just the regular day-to-day stuff I have to do to stay alive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's
in a while, setting up an elaborate scheme feels
yeah.
like, I gotta eat every day.
Yeah.
I gotta not fall down the stairs. There's like a lot of shit that I have to pay attention to.
Yeah, that's
to.
True. And you do an okay job with it.
Thank you.
I want to say.
So
yeah.
far, so good.
You're doing good. It seems kind of like being an immortal in this movie is actually... also bad. I'm gonna go with also bad. I think even though it's like technically a symbiotic relationship that she has with like the children, you know, whose minds she occupies, it's still like it doesn't seem like the people of Fantasia are like happy and good regardless of the nothing. You know, there's still an ivory tower. You know, I mean, it says that she's like a very benevolent ruler and everything. It just doesn't seem like there's very much.
Scott,
yeah,
would you like it?
No.
All right.
I wouldn't. I don't want it.
Yeah,
I really hoped that I would, but I don't.
No, it's hard to like think of yourself as like, I want to be a childlike emperor, right? Like that's
oh wait, a childlike emperor? Totally.
Right, but no, but that's what that's what.
No, I'm kidding. I don't want to be a 9-year-old boy for the rest of my life either.
Right. So, yeah, it's just like it's not. I wouldn't mind being a 9-year-old boy for the rest of my life.
You
as
wouldn't mind
as, like,
being a 9-year-old boy for the rest of your
I
life?
I don't think I'd give a shit, man. Like, I don't care. But here's the thing.
You have reached new levels of apathy. I think Morla has had a big influence on
you. That's not the main thing. Well, I'm going to talk about Morla. So first, like, I don't think it's the age. I think it's the being surrounded by just fucking weirdos. Like everyone, everyone there is like, there's like a rock giant eating rocks. It's just like this fantastical land.
Yeah.
And it's based on people's fantasies. And like, if things are just like always weird and kind of meaningless. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to live there forever. You know what I mean?
It's not weird.
That interesting.
Well, it's super interesting.
No, it's not.
You got a guy on a bike that's made out of rocks, who's also made out of rocks, who eats rocks.
100%.
That's interesting.
No, that's arbitrary.
You got a guy in a little guy in a fancy suit riding a snail. The snail's fast.
I think there's a difference between whimsical and interesting. And I feel like
not
if
to
I
me
spent,
there is a Joel.
If I no, spent like 1 month.
Yeah.
In this place, I would be like, yeah, okay, a rock giant. Okay, a flying dog dragon.
I think
I
you
fucking
would,
get it.
You would become the nothing, I think is what happens.
No, totally. Immediately.
You would literally
immediately.
Just be like, guys, this sucks. Let's start over.
So the person I most identify with is Morla.
Obviously.
And
Jorla.
And Morla is also an immortal here. And another kind that I would not want to be. because she so clearly embodies this thing of like, living forever isn't that great.
Yeah.
I've just been alive for thousands and thousands of years, hanging out here in the Swamp of Sadness.
Yeah.
Which is also, I'd probably not live in the Swamp of Sadness given the choice. But like, she lives in the Swamp of Sadness.
Wouldn't you though?
Or like, yeah, she's like, not that it matters, but I guess I'll like take a one bedroom in the Swamp of Sadness. No, yeah, I wouldn't want any role in this movie.
Yeah.
I do not want. I wouldn't want to be Bastion. I wouldn't want to be his dad. I fucking wouldn't want to be his dad.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be like wouldn't want to be those bullies.
Wouldn't want to be a swim team coach. You wouldn't, you know, none of it.
Not even someone adjacent to the story. I definitely wouldn't want to be the horse. Basically, I'm a no.
You brought up the fucking horse again, Joel.
I'm not. Okay, yeah, I did. It's sad. I wouldn't want to.
You want to end episode 11 when we said we're turning over New Leaf on a sad note?
No, I'm saying I wouldn't want to be a depressed horse. I want good things for myself.
I want good
and
things
so
for
should
you,
too. You, BFFs.
That's right. We want good things for all.
I don't
of you.
Want any of you to become depressed horses.
Except that Joel does want you to be sad because he keeps bringing up the horse.
Also, I love that he like keeps drawing unicorns in his notebook, but then it's just a horse in the book he's reading.
Yeah, that's true. There are no unicorns in the book. Probably because he's like, don't think about unicorns. Don't think about unicorns. Don't think about unicorns.
Right, then it's a horse.
And then it's a horse.
Who dies?
Jesus Christ.
Okay, anyway. I'm a no. You're a no.
Yeah.
So that's it. We're kind of done with this book.
Still on the lookout for a kind of immortality that is positive and would be cool. I mean, I feel like I'm always sort of like, yeah, it would be cool. I would do it because, like, I don't think that immortality has to ruin your life, you know? But the particular mechanics of this immortality I find very limiting.
All right. So next time we are also not doing a very positive
another
take
one.
On immortality.
We got another one. Another paints immortality in a negative, mostly negative light. But it's a cool movie.
It is a cool movie.
It's interesting source material. It's called Hancock. Starring Will Smith and Charlize Theron, kind of an overlooked kind of like genre bending superhero movie. That's pretty cool. So if you haven't seen it, you want to check it out before the episode and kind of know a little bit coming in. You can do that, and if you don't want to, you'll still get a lot out of the episode. It's cool either way.
Either way. So in the meantime, if you want to
rate us,
subscribe us.
Yeah, but definitely whatever you do, keep on living.